Hey guys, this is a explicit podcast, so if you are under the age of 18, we would rather you not listen to this. We talk about suggestive topics and use profanity throughout our episodes. Also, if you're easily offended or just plain can't take a joke, please move on to a different podcast. We're not the one for you. Thanks, and if you're still here, enjoy the show. Drunken Rebels Podcast, Episode 2. Today we're going to talk about Bill and Ted, Stadia, Cyberpunk 2077, Risk of Rain 2, how Madden always seems to repeat with every version, and we're going to talk about Dungeons & Dragons. So stay tuned.
How you guys doing?
Not too bad. Surviving.
Summer's almost over.
Yeah.
What? Summer? What? When did that happen?
Do you think about all the summer movies we got to watch this year?
Oh. I'm okay. I'm okay with summer being over.
Oh, I hate summer.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
I'm definitely a winter guy. He can suck a dick. I am done with heat.
Yes. So,
yes,
yes. So, and
yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. So I guess, most of us haven't watched, well, I take that back. Terrell has watched Bill and Ted, the new Bill and Ted movie.
It's just
without,
me.
Without spoiling it too much, because I don't want to spoil it. Oh, I said it. I don't want to spoil it for Bluto. I have to get used to that.
I'm not used to it either. You know what? Fuck it. I don't care anymore.
I do.
Okay. I'm Bluto. Fine. Can you just bleep? Oh my god. Can you just call me and then go back in afterwards and bleep my name out?
But then I gotta do it every time.
I know. It's so funny. Then everyone's gonna think my name is something horrible. Hello, I'm Fuckface.
So, Terrell, what are your thoughts on Bill?
I thought it was good. I thought it was worth the wait. I think it's going to be a movie that people are going to like more as time goes on.
Okay.
The acting.
Were you big on Bill and Ted before you watched that, or have you seen it?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I used to watch the cartoons and, you know, saw the movies.
Did you watch the failed sitcom?
I did. And that's a disgrace.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Like, the approximate actors they found were just the saddest things.
I gotta say, the acting on the movie was really well done. The story was okay. But it was seeing those people on the screen and just the positivity of the movie is just really needed right now. And thank God for a summer movie that's not 2.5-3 hours long. It was a short, regular movie. It's gonna be a hit.
If I was gonna find one negative thing about it, I think it would be that, so like the first two Bill and Ted movies, for me, I went out and I bought the soundtrack. And I didn't feel like this was a soundtrack that I would run out and buy on this one. Other than that, I think it was pretty true to the story. And I also think that like there were potholes and stuff, but there were obvious potholes that were put there on purpose. And when they were put there, they addressed it right there on the spot. So like without ruining too much, the robot in hell. Yeah. And so like they called it out right away. Wait, that doesn't make sense, you know? So I think it was exactly what it was supposed to be. They're stupid movies if you want to get down to it in the first place. but it followed that, and you really can't mess that up.
The fact that I can't remember much of the music of the movie kind of validates your first point. The last song was actually surprisingly okay, but yeah, like, it wasn't... all the Bill and Ted movies are pretty sloppy when it comes to plotting and writing, so it's kind of like, I guess I didn't have that expectation to be...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's meant to be that way.
I mean, you don't watch a Bill and Ted movie expecting King Lear.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah, it's fine being kind of a schlocky movie, because that's absolutely the point.
Right.
I think if it wasn't schlocky, people would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Like, if they tried to go epic, like some kind of Marvel flick or some shit, people would have lost their minds.
It definitely made sense for a Bill and Ted movie. I liked it. I thought it was really good. I watched it twice. The first time I watched it, I was kind of half watching it because I was working at the same time. But then I watched it again with my wife, and she enjoyed it too, actually.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, I feel like the original Bill and Ted existed in the same world of madness as Beakman's World. If you remember that show.
No.
And you didn't watch Beakman's World?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was
the first
show.
I'm hearing it.
Yeah, Beakman's World was a good show.
Tunes. No, yeah, dude.
Is that a millennial thing?
No. It was in your age, your era. What the fuck is wrong with you? Go watch Beakman's World and report back, you uncultured swine.
I know. What was it? What is it?
It was like it was in the realm of Bill Nye, where it was like wacky shit to make kids pay attention to science facts, like, you know, that kind of shit.
Okay.
But Beakman's World was so much more like grungy MTV for kids, kind of bizarre, wacky, like buggy-eyed humor.
Okay.
With a bunch of like stupid special effects for no reason and like a bizarre mythology built around it, and I feel like Bill and Ted and Beakman's World, while not the same by any means, existed in the same wavelength. And
okay,
I would like, I can't imagine a Bill and Ted movie being made to be serious in any way. And
no, it's definitely not.
Yeah, and
you would, I think you would enjoy it. I just love the fact that they have no problem making fun of themselves. The movie, in the writing. I mean,
that's key for most comedy, for most good wacky comedy. I mean, eyebrow comedy, maybe not, but
right.
It was most definitely a passion project.
Yeah,
and they had the director from Galaxy Quest. So I was
really? I didn't know
did
that.
Did they?
It made a difference. Yeah.
Oh man, that movie was good too.
Oh, that's right. Actually, I do remember hearing that.
I was actually just recently talking about how sad I am that Alan Rickman is gone, because like without him, Galaxy Quest is not going to feel like Galaxy Quest, because they're making a new one.
They what?
Oh, really?
Excuse me.
Oh, let's talk about this right here.
Welcome to hell. Let me look up some details when we talk.
Oh, yeah. And you know, too, like for me, Bill and Ted, as I was saying earlier with the music, for me, Bill and Ted, that I'm a big heavy metal guy. So for me, I remember a lot of that stuff back when those came out. Really sort of shaped a lot of the stuff that I started listening to, that got me into what I listen to now. And so I definitely didn't feel that with this one, but that last song was definitely a good one.
Yeah, surprisingly good. Like, I didn't expect much out of
it. You know what it is? It's the music that was there wasn't bad. It just was, like, not enough. There should have been more, you know?
That makes sense. The feeling of a shoestring budget movie, even though the CGI was kind of good. The CGI was good.
Oh yeah,
just look at that grungy feeling.
Yeah, and they kept the old phone booth, which was cool.
Maybe we're not in hell. I think it got canned.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
That could have been really good.
Well, I mean, it's kind of come and gone for a while. Like, there's been rumblings of it off and on for every 3 or 4 years.
It's like Spaceballs, too.
Yeah. This one sounded like it was really going to happen, though, all the way up until, like, 2019, Yeah, it looks like it might be off.
Oh, no.
It seems like DreamWorks was going to be doing it the last time around, and they had already kind of fucked up what made Galaxy Quest special, so. But yeah, Bill and Ted, like, that was one of those things, I think we talked about this forever ago, on this show, maybe.
Probably.
About, like, why I wasn't excited about it.
Yeah.
Like, why my cynical Bluto brain just would not accept the idea of a Bill and Ted movie being good.
Yeah, so. And I think I've said before, you can't really mess it up, you know, because what are you expecting? You're not expecting like the next.
Oh, you can mess it up.
Harry Potter, or I don't
know. You can 100%. Sweet,
and if it wasn't goofy, I would have been disappointed.
Right.
Yeah, you can absolutely mess that up. But you're a positive moviegoer, man.
I am. Me?
For those of you who don't know Toons is always the guy who's like, I enjoyed it. I ate popcorn. Fell asleep, but it was good. Like,
usually the first time I love it, right? And then the second time I start seeing its faults. This time I think I saw it twice, and both times I thought it was great.
Like, the first time you loved it, the second time you remembered me calling Venom trash bag Rain Man, and now you're like, oh, okay.
I actually didn't really. I wasn't too crazy about Trash Bag Rain Man.
Okay, good.
Good.
Hate the things that I hate, Toons.
for anybody who doesn't know, we're speaking about Venom.
Definitely don't want to kill nobody but bad guys. Definitely don't monster the good guys.
George, did you want to talk about Cyberpunk?
Oh, yeah. So have you guys been watching any of the Cyberpunk rollouts, like the details have been dropping?
I watched, like, when it first came out, like the first, you know,
trailer. Like the 5 million years ago trailer, like the slow motion one with the girl with the mantis blades?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Have you not been paying attention to any of the new stuff?
I have not.
I don't want to spoil myself, so I've kept myself from paying attention.
Oh, God. Me. Get on the hype train. You know me. Usually I'm seriously anti-hype train.
I'm actually going to look it up right now.
Yeah. If you guys don't mind, look up the weapons trailer that just came out and play it on silent.
Weapons.
Or, you know, play it over your headphones or whatever. Like, the hardware looks seriously cool in this. They didn't go ridiculously over the top. They didn't make it, like, wacky, super future, everything's glowing. You know, they made it believable. Some of the tech feels kind of clanky, but in a good way.
Okay.
But then they added the cool future shit. Like, there's a whole class of guns that has smart bullets that whiz around corners and shit.
I got it on mute right now. I'm watching it.
Like, it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful looking gameplay. And the weapons look like tons of fun.
The sets, like, look cool.
The sets look great. I mean, if you guys haven't been paying attention, you might not know this, but this is looking like it might be one of the biggest, the largest in terms of square footage games ever made.
Really?
Like, and I'm, of course, excluding things with randomly generated terrain and shit like Minecraft and space games. So that those don't count. But like the largest handcrafted game. It's huge. Huge. And it's, you know, they're putting the time and effort into it, obviously.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at these shotguns. They're amazing.
Right? They have, apparently there's one shotgun that's all about, punching through cover. So, okay. Like, you can shoot, you know, in one car door, out the other car door, and still do damage.
Huh.
But then if you, like, do point-blank range shots against flesh-and-blood targets, they'll just turn it to fucking paste.
That literally just happened as you said that.
Yeah, there you go. There's some really fun looking guns in there, and I'm really glad that they kept things a little bit grounded. And you know, every other gun isn't a fucking satellite laser beam kind of thing.
They have these satellite samurai swords that are like they got like I guess like a laser edge on it.
Yeah, they have heat blades, electric blades, all the standards. It looks like they're saving some of the really fun shit for the actual game. They're not giving away everything.
Okay.
But even just the the cybernetic tech in that game looks like a lot of fun. Like, not every weapon is just a weapon. Like, the gorilla arms look like they're just as much for punching people as they are for being able to pull larger guns off of turret mounts and throw things hard, you know?
Yeah.
The Mantis blades, from what I understand, are just as much for climbing walls as they are for chopping heads off. Like, it looks like they really thought things out.
If you're listening to this really far in the future, go forward to the episode where George is making fun of Cyberpunk 2077.
Look, for this game, it's kind of, so here's the thing. When I'm a fan, I'm a fan. You know, I will critique things when they deserve critique. It's like I'm a huge Fallout guy. I've got a fucking plasma rifle mounted to my wall in my living room. But, you know, I'm not too big to say that, you know, 76 had a lot of problems. And that Bethesda is like just fucking themselves in the mouths constantly in terms of marketing and publicity. I don't know what they're doing. But yeah, like I'm very worried for Cyberpunk because the hype is so hard.
Right.
The second anything fails, if there's any glitches, any bugs, if anything doesn't feel right, you know, that hate train is going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're going to mass review bomb this shit. It's the second it does something they don't like. All the SJWs or counter SJWs, whatever this game does and says, there'll be a whole party of people just waiting on their keyboards to fucking talk about how awful it is in every possible way.
It sucks.
How dare they let you choose your gender? Like, it's going to be fucking madness. So I'm ready for that. I'm prepared. You know, I want very badly this to be a major game changer, pun intended, for games. Mm-hmm. I want this to be something that shifts the bar because the industry needs that really bad.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting complacent. Indie games are still evolving and changing and they're fun and interesting, but like AAA games, you know, they're not growing.
What are some good indie games?
Ah, nice segue there, Tunes. I was just talking about how much I like Risk of Rain 2. Let me look at the name of the developer.
I didn't even mean to segue into that, actually. I didn't know that was an indie game. I heard you mention it earlier. But...
Well, Risk of Rain 2 just came out of beta, and it's like official now. There's like an end boss and everything. Ooh. Hapu Games.
How do you spell that?
H-O-P-O-O.
Hapu,
whatever. They don't have a lot of titles for their name, but Risk of Rain 2, because there was a 1, which was fine. But they're roguelikes. They've specialized in roguelikes. It's for those of you who don't know. Roguelikes are sort of a dynamically generated experience, like randomized levels, you know, lots of highly diverse characters that, you know, you die, you're gone, you start over with another character, that kind of thing. Risk of Rain 2 is kind of a combination of bullet hell games and roguelike RPGs and like third-person shooters.
Okay.
And it's super colorful, super stylish, but it's not like colorful and stylish the way a lot of like not like Fall Guys where it's just like it's so cute, ooh woo, like it's not just like dripping with stupid cuteness, and it doesn't look like it's for kids, but it still manages to be super colorful and you know very bright and exciting while still being, you know, clearly a game meant for people who can count beyond five.
Risk of Rain 2.
Get your eyeballs on some gameplay because it's really pretty. It's really interesting stuff.
Risk of Rain.
And the vast majority of the gameplay loop revolves around doing things to unlock your characters and then doing things to unlock those characters' secondary sets of powers. So once you're done with that, it's really you're just playing it for fun and like helping other people get through it.
I'm definitely checking it out right now.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very, very, very fun. It's very tight. It feels good. Like it's not like a drifty, weird, you know, poorly mechanically balanced game. It feels like they put a lot of thought and time into the way things move. Because another thing about this game is there's tons and tons and tons of power-ups, things you can pick up along your fights to, you know, augment your movement or your attacks or what have you.
Okay, I'm actually looking at the gameplay now, because I guess the first trailer I clicked on was not gameplay, so I'm checking it out now.
Like, for example, if you really want to, and you have the right artifact equipped so you can choose which power-ups you get, like, you can pour all of your focus into, you know, movement power-ups, so that you end up being so fucking fast that nothing can ever touch you.
Oh, really?
I had a character who was like, oh god, I had like 12 energy drinks, 8 goat hooves, you know, a few whips. There's a number of different speed items that give you speed in different scenarios.
Okay.
And it got to the point where I'd like disengage from a bunch of enemies and I'd just like teleport to the other side of the map.
what system is this on?
I actually have it on PC and on Xbox. I was trying to see.
So it's PC also. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to see what the difference was there, and it feels nice on both. It feels real good on both. It's optimized for controller, but it works really nicely on keyboard and mouse.
I've become a lot more accustomed to the controller lately, even on PC games.
Same.
Yeah. Keyboard's a lot of fun, but it depends on the game you're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig this. What are you, just an astronaut?
So the shtick is that you, like, a team crash landed on this planet, and, you know, the typical, you responded to a distress call, and, you know, you land on this planet, and it's full of monsters and shit.
Okay.
There's not much in terms of story. There's lore. Hmm?
It looks like a lot of fun. Oh, cool. You can, they have those, I guess you would call that, you know how they have the set of rocks and there's like bubbles coming out of it, you can jump higher
when
you
jump out of it. Yeah.
I don't know what you would call that, like a trampoline
boost pads and
yeah.
There's some characters that especially after, I mean, if you get enough like jump and movement upgrades, you don't need that shit at all.
Like, yeah, just, oh really?
Yeah, you're Superman and you can fly. it's fairly recent. I don't remember when the beta dropped on this one, but they just pulled it out of beta. It's like just now, like official. But you've been able to buy it for a little while.
Okay.
But yeah, like games like this can only exist in the world of indie games. You know, it's very niche. It's very specific. It's a super tight gameplay loop that doesn't lend itself to endless shelf life unless you're someone who just really, you know, enjoys the play. AAA games, they have to be like, they have to compel you to buy more all the time.
Right.
So the purpose of the loop in a AAA game is fundamentally different. So that's why I always really like the indie game world. But I think Cyberpunk is going to be a good example of that, you know, AAA loop working for the player. I hope.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, I guess. Hopefully it won't be, pay to play or.
Well, I mean, they have a really good track like record. Are you familiar with CD Projekt Red at all or no?
No, I'm not.
So outside of being the people who did the Witcher games, which are, you know, generally regarded as classics.
I am familiar with the Witcher.
Yeah. They also have a, let me see if I can find out what it's called.
Terrell, I almost forgot you were there.
Yeah, what's going on, Terrell?
No, I was just thinking about indie games. That's my favorite type, and I can't say enough. Like, okay, 7 out of 10 aren't going to be good, but the 3 that are good, they're so great.
They're really good, yeah.
And one thing with Bluto was saying about AAA games dying or just stiltifying, EA, Electronic Arts, has one of the craziest situations where they have a consumer revolt going on for their EA NFL Madden games.
Oh, really? Where,
yeah, on Metacritic, people have rated it the lowest game ever, 0.4 out of 10.
Really?
And, yeah, and it was, the game was bad enough or, like, was so lazy that even reviewers who are not quite trustworthy, like IGN, they gave it, like, 60s.
Well, I feel like they're just making the same game over and over and over again with that one.
That's exactly. And people are tired of it, and people are tired of buying packs or gambling with microtransactions. And every year,
yeah,
EA just wipes the slate clean, so you, everything you paid for is gone. You have to start fresh. Unless you play the old game, but who plays the older version of a game?
Exactly. So, like they make you feel like it's obsolete. And like every time a new meta game comes out, you got to go buy the new one. But like, is it that much different than the last one? You know?
Exactly. And not only is it so much more different from the old one, but the exploitative nature, the surprise mechanics, and I'm using the hard air quotes there. It's really gambling. And the game itself has gotten worse year after year. Yeah. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, years back, like, the game was better. Now it's so, and it's just an incredible thing happening culturally, because the Star Wars games by EA were so bad that Disney got involved.
Yep.
And the microtransactions in Star Wars was so bad. And the sports players are hoping that the same thing will happen here, where the NFL steps in and is like, what's going on here?
Yeah, and you could... You could always make that kind of thing work too, and it doesn't seem like they really tried. Like, if you look at like the Call of Duty games, it's pretty much the same game over and over. They're just replacing maps and updating the graphics and giving you new guns, you know. But with the stuff that they do give you, it's worth checking out. You know, it's not like it's literally the same exact thing over and over again. So, you know, that would be an example of somebody making that type of thing work, you know?
I just think, like, the idea of AAA games, especially now that they're going for that $70 price point.
Yeah.
Is we're going to see some things. It's not like you can share games anymore.
Yeah. You know
what
I mean? Yeah.
It
depends on your platform, you know what I mean?
Yeah, speaking of, actually, about games going under and what happens to them after they're gone, one of the things that I really like about CD Projekt Red is their work they're doing with GOG.
Mm-hmm.
I pasted a link to a no-clip documentary.
I'm checking it out.
Called Preserving Games Past and Future.
Oh, is this something I'm going to have to watch later?
Later, it's long.
okay.
Yeah. Actually, if you haven't watched no-clip stuff, it's great. It's an old, classic magazine, and TV style game journalist who broke away and quit everything and started his own mini documentary series, embedding himself in various companies and learning how they do things. And it's really good stuff, but, it was a good look at exactly what GOG and Noclip were doing. So GOG is basically like a Steam alternative. It's a game, marketplace.
Okay.
Aside from just selling games, one of their primary focuses is finding old games that have been lost to either companies dissolving or legal disputes about ownership over game titles or blah, 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 blah. All these games that fell through the cracks. They're finding them. They're going through all the legal efforts of trying to free them from their current situation or dig them out of the grave. And they're resurrecting them, translating them so they work on modern computers and putting them on their storefront and keeping them alive.
Okay.
Which I really like. I got nothing but respect for that. And you know, CD Projekt Red is actually really involved in that. They help with the legal issues. They help with the logistics of, you know, localizing and re-rendering the games. Like, it's really cool. So yeah. I have a lot of hope for Cyberpunk, and I have a lot of hope for Project Red continuing to kind of push the AAA bar forward, because they are so clearly games people. They're not just game developers, they're game people, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Like, they care about it, like, fundamentally on a very deep level.
You know what that reminded me of, too? I don't know why it reminded me of this, but it just popped in my head. Do you guys have any experience with Stadia?
Yeah.
What was that?
That was what rolling my eyes sounds like.
Oh, well, I can't see you, so. Bad.
That's what it looks like when someone, a giant corporation who couldn't give a fuck about games, tries to get into games strictly to make money. They don't know what they're doing. They never did. They just think that they're like a, you know, super fancy, cool technology company, and anything with their name attached to it will sell. And they're trying to profit off of an industry that has largely forged its own way for a number of years. And they were hoping they could, you know, bank in, cash in on all that effort and just be like, oh, look, you can play it with us now. Buy it again, please. Like, fuck that.
Not
fuck
sure
that
how to help with. Time to chill.
What right. The fuck?
That was my phone.
Is your sorry phone telling me to chill out? Tell your phone to fuck itself.
I didn't expect my phone to say anything.
Your phone's got a lot of lip on it. Asshole
yeah, it
phone.
Does. It does. So we're not liking Stadia.
No. Stadia, I mean, from the perspective of somebody who, you know, considers games a very, you know, closely held personal experience, like a lot of longtime gamers do, I think it's just ugly watching Google, like, puff its chest out and stride fucking pridefully into the space and try to act like they're hot shit. And then, of course, there was just tons of Schadenfreude that went with watching them fail. I was like, yes, 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 fail for me, Google. Because goddamn, was that a buggy, disastrous mess. And not even just from a technical standpoint, because we all saw it coming. Everyone saw it coming. Like, you can't stream a game, at least not yet, not with our connection speeds, because input lag, you can't have that. You can't have input lag in games because it's split-second decisions. Twitch gameplay does not work when you're borrowing your game from 275,000 miles away.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that when I was using the Shield. I didn't have any issues at all. Like, there was never a lag, and I was playing some of the top AAA games.
Shield has much more processing power in
yeah.
the hood.
Yeah.
The okay. Stadia doesn't.
But you think that they would, though, you know?
No, I mean, there were some devices that worked better with the system. Also, it depends on, you know, how far away you are from the server that your game is being hosted on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of factors that go into making it work. The problem is you have to have the perfect device and you have to have the perfect connection and you have to be just far enough away from the game source. And so many stars have to align for Stadia to work that, you know, enough of a majority were experiencing just god-awful lag. Did you see that video, the journalist, I forget who it was, posted of him pushing, like, filming himself tapping the keyboard and then showing the character jumping a good second and a half later?
No.
There's just this great gif of him just like, ah, like smiling at the camera and like poking his keyboard. And you'd see every time he taps the keyboard and holds his finger down on the fucking button, the character jumps a good second and a half later.
Oh man.
Maybe not that long, but like a good second later. And he's just like, look at this! Stadia! Revolutionary!
Yeah. It was trash. See, I was thinking of looking into it too, and now I'm definitely having second thoughts.
Well, I'm glad I can influence your decision.
Thank
you. Because
well, what happened was the Shield, it was free, it was free, it was free, it was free. And then they decided that they didn't want it to be free anymore.
Yeah, no, they had a limited, like, pre-release. And they said that from the beginning that you're going to have to pay for
that. That limited pre-release lasted, like, 3 to 5 years.
Oh, the Shield, not Stadia?
No, the Shield.
I don't know.
And they're like, oh, thank you for trying out our beta version. I was like, wait a second. It wasn't beta when I first
tried. It's like how Fortnite still says beta on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, silly, silly tech. Why? Why do you do these things?
Just to segue into something else here. I sort of got... Oh, boy. Here we go again. Pluto. Into...
Just bleep into, it. Just bleep it. It's funnier that way.
Pluto into Dungeons & Dragons. How has your experience been up to this point?
Well, when you got me into Dungeons & Dragons, you did it before things fell apart for us in terms of society. I had one table meet
where
we all gathered around a table and said geeky shit and, you know, attacked the darkness.
Which was fun.
It was great. No, it was really nice. You guys were nice. Nice folks. Then, apparently the world ended and we all stopped being allowed to go outside. So, everything shifted to online. And we used Discord to do most of our voice chat during gaming and then obviously Roll20. For those of you who aren't familiar, Roll20 is a very popular, browser-based, tabletop replacement, essentially, for Dungeons & Dragons and a series of other games that they have that you can play on there. So yeah, that was fun. It started off great. You know, I was learning the ropes and everyone was very accepting and, patient while I rolled nat ones over and over and over again and got ridiculously grumpy because I was like, no, I don't play the stupid game anymore. I'm stupid nat one. Okay. So that all went well.
Well, nat ones happen to everyone. So.
Oh, but not at the rate they happen to poor old Bluto. So, we're on Discord talking, doing our thing and, playing on Roll20. And somehow I end up getting pulled into another Discord server, through another one somehow. And it was just all a bunch of people who play D&D all the time, and they run different games, and they post meetup times and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So I went from never playing Dungeons and Dragons to playing Dungeons and Dragons like four nights a fucking week.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm playing all the time now.
That's cool.
And now I'm being hired to voice NPC characters in paid games.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's a guy who runs. He's a paid DM, and he runs like big games. And he's doing a cyberpunk game, and he's paying me to do a bunch of characters.
That's cool.
Yeah, weird. I mean, he's not paying me much, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But basically, my approach to this has been: if I'm gonna be a fucking geek, I'm gonna be a fucking geek, and I'm gonna do this thing the whole way. So I voice the characters and I play them and I make them exciting and colorful and different because otherwise, what's the fucking point? I've been doing that so much for like five goddamn months now that I'm starting to forget who I am, what I sound like. And exactly how much I give a fuck about returning to reality. It's getting a little, it's kind of bad, like psychologically, maybe bad. Because I'm in the place now where I'm like, oh my.
Oh my.
I've been doing this voice for a while. I just did this voice throughout an entire business meeting. This could be a problem. You were there. You're there. It was a business meeting. Lots of people there, CEO types, director types and whatnot. And I was like, hello, hello. Oh, what a pleasure to see you all. My goodness.
That's right.
Isn't this just lovely? Oh, if only we could be back in the office again, getting coffee together, having lunch, awkwardly staring at each other across distances and thinking, what the fuck is he still doing here?
I've heard you speaking like this in a business meeting, and I thought it was very strange.
Oh, everybody did, but I don't care. It's been weird because I literally the night before that meeting, I had spent 7 hours straight playing a character.
Okay,
and like I like legitimately. Was just stuck. I don't know if you've ever, Toons, you're not really the type to do lots of voices or whatnot, but I don't know anybody here who's ever done a voice and just kind of gotten it stuck.
A lot of times when I do the radio voice, I don't want to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's easy enough to get stuck when you do it for a few takes for a commercial read, but when you do it for 7 hours, and then you go straight to sleep.
you wake up and you're that person again.
You wake up the next day like, ah, my God, it's like I slept on the forest floor. Oh, I did, didn't I? That's how we ended the campaign. I wonder if this pain is real. Oh, well. I don't know. I really think that I'm being like psychologically affected by all this. I think I'm breaking just a little tiny bit.
All right. Let me bring it back down to your character in my campaign.
Ellis?
Yeah. What are your thoughts so far? Be honest of my game so far.
Well, speaking as Bluto, I'm having quite a bit of fun. I enjoy it. It's intriguing. Yeah. I believe the last session was a bit slow. Mm. And I believe a bit of prodding may be necessary from the DM.
You guys fought a lot of bugbears.
I think random encounters are usually rough. Mm. However, speaking as Alice Grumblewood, speaking as the gnome wizard that I am, I rather enjoy it. You know, I wake up after untold centuries of sleep, or maybe not, who knows? And suddenly everything is just dastardly and undead and wickedly exciting. Really, it's just the best. Honestly.
You've been asleep 40 years.
Oh, you gave it away.
No, I told you guys that.
Did you tell us? I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy petting my pet dragon, you see.
That's true. He's got a familiar.
I have not quite a familiar. No, it's a friend. I can't just dismiss it. It's there for good.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's oh my god. I'm like...
You're becoming Ellis.
I'm becoming... Ellis Grumblewood has become the paperclip son of a bitch from the old Microsoft Word application. Every time I have a thought that contradicts some conversation that I'm having, it's like, yeah, well, you know, I really like this whiskey. It's pretty good. You know, the expensive stuff is always better. I'm like, actually, one moment while I explain the reality of the situation to you, you Philistine, you. Have a seat. Yeah, it's like he's become my paperclip. He's like, did you know? I'm like a little bit worried. I'm kind of losing my mind because it happens a lot now.
Oh, man.
So, Tiral, can you relate? Do you have words?
I'm not as talented, and I used to game, but it's kind of like I kind of hang back a lot, and I enjoy being with friends, and I like playing Shadowrun, but I'm not in the league. You guys are in the. You guys are playing way more.
But we were in a game. We were in a game together, and you did the role play. You did the voice. You tried very hard, and it was very fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a mess of a game.
Isn't it incredible how much talent and skill is involved? And when you see people with that talent and skill, it's like a completely different level. It's almost like theater. And I really appreciate you being as much of a monster as you are. I didn't realize you were playing this much role-playing games. Like, I thought I was bad. I think one time I was playing once a week. I have a weekly game. And, you know, I thought I was bad, but you're playing 4 days.
Damn. I'm GMing one game. Well, not lately, but yeah, I've been GMing one game a week for a while.
Yeah, when the GM is the one who's like, oh, sorry, guys, can't make it today. Got stuff going on. It's like, boo!
I know.
You're supposed to be the one who shakes your head in disappointment at all the other assholes who do that. That's your job as DM.
I know. Shit happens.
Here I am, the noob, and you've brought me in late in the game, and I'm the only one showing up. It's just me and my good new friend Tim. It's like, where'd everybody go?
I like Tim.
Tim's good people. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
Do you want to do a little whiskey time?
Let's do whiskey time. It was actually a subject brought up by my old tunes that I think we can talk about while we do this. So, what are you drinking tonight, Tunes? We're not face to face anymore these days, so I can't pour you a bottle. You're back to the High West.
Well, that's what I have at the moment.
Yeah, and that's a bottle that I left there that you've been afraid of ever since you drank it the first time. That's a sound I like to hear. Here,
I think that I don't know.
You're drinking the double rye, right?
Yes, I'm just gonna drink the one glass because the last time I had this, it affected me poorly.
Tyrell,
I cannot drink. So
what?
Yeah. So
I thought whiskey was good for you.
No, not today. Well, depending on the medicine and all that.
Fair enough. All right.
Well, that's understandable.
I am going with a good old-fashioned classic, Macallan 12. Cheap and delicious. So the High West Double Rye is a hard drink. It's a man's whiskey. For man time. Whereas Macallan...
Oh, wow.
Had you forgotten? Yeah, that's a bracing beverage. Macallan 12, however, is quite the opposite. It's very smooth, very sweet.
I think this is my least favorite whiskey.
Well, I left it with you because I figured you would appreciate the terrifying hangover it gives you the next day.
Ugh.
So why is it your least favorite?
Because it burns a lot. Well, that doesn't really bother me. That doesn't really bother me that much. But you know,
you're
how
Irish.
You know how you get the crazy chills sometimes when you're drinking whiskey.
Oh, it's been a long time since I felt that.
I get that every time I drink the High West. And I'm not a big fan of the chills. I'm not. Because I know that it represents stomach pains later on.
Yeah. It's just your body reacting to the fact that you're willingly poisoning it. That's all.
Yeah, but there's other whiskey that doesn't do that. Like most other whiskey.
Wow. Ooh, I just inhaled a little bit of this. Went up my nose. Yeah. High West is known for making really, really bold, strong. Like they do a really good limited bottle called Midwinter's Night that is just super heavy. I mean, it's really all about drinking it in the dead of winter.
You know, really?
To stave off fucking hypothermia. And it's like a strong, strong drink. It's all flavor. It's really, really good if you're into that kind of thing. But yeah.
So now that whiskey time is over, I think that we should probably bring this episode to a close because it is getting somewhat late over here. And we were having technical difficulties. And before any more happen... we probably should end this enjoyable podcast at the moment.
I'd like to thank you for joining us here on the Drunken Rebels podcast. If you'd like to contact us, leave us an email at drunkrebelspod@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at drunkrebspod. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Drunken Rebels podcast. If you'd like to leave a voicemail that we could play on the show, give us a call at 631-913-8371. That's 631-913-8371. We'll see you guys next time.